It took the Rick party just under an hour to shower, change into clean and cool clothing, and eat and drink enough to bring their water and salt levels back up, both of which had been depleted by the long trek. Doc had showered with them and then eaten in the med lab, where Mildred had monitored him and put him on a saline drip she had found in the well-stocked lab. That restored Doc's body and enabled his brain chemistry to regain its delicate balance. At the end of an hour, the wreck party had reassembled in the office that Carell used as his base of operations. The walls were decorated with maps and diagrams, and new ones had been added over the course of the preceding 2 days as he ran through new plans for staging the attack. As Carell sat there behind the large desk that had at one time housed the military commander of the redoubt back in the days of the totality concept, he toyed with a pencil that had been sitting on a piece of paper on the otherwise bare desktop. Lonnie, Mick, Tilly, Danny, Dean, and Jack were joined by a refreshed Doc, with Mildred along to keep an eye on him. Also in the room were Ryan, Christy, and JB, as well as a select few of the Hellbenders, who were obviously Carell's high command, Rudy, Travis, Jenny, and the injured Psy, who, although still in no fit state for combat, had been a longtime and highly trusted associate of the Hellbenders' leader. His shoulder was heavily bound, but the fact that he was up and about was a testimony to Mildred's skills. Carell fixed Lonnie with a cold eye.
So tell me about the convoy.
I will, but first you've got to know what happened when we arrived, as it leads on to why we've got the extras.
Lonnie began to explain the events of the previous day, beginning with their entry into Charity. He left nothing out of the account, bearing the withering and angry stare of his leader when he explained about Jem and the reasons the group became separated. But this was soon forgotten as he got into the details of what they had seen in the old sports arena and reeled off the full specifications of the amount of wags that would be used in the convoy and the extent of the armory that they would carry. Carell's pencil moved rapidly across the paper, making notes. Not many people were able to read and write, for education was the last thing that most needed in order to survive, and so came well down the list of priorities. Carell seemed to be able to write rapidly and fluently. He must have at one time received an education exceptional by Deathland standards, and once more Ryan wondered about the full story behind the driven man. When Lonnie had finished his description of the potential convoy, he handed the account over to Danny, who explained why he had led Dean to Baron Al's secret stash of old tech, leaving out his explanation to Dean about not trusting Carell to keep his cool in the heat of confrontation, and to the appearance of Aisha. As he explained the agreement he had reached with the girl and how she had accompanied them back to the rendezvous point, he began to falter, sensing the growing anger in the Hellbender's leader and noticing how Carell's tightly compressed lips were a deathly white, all color bled from them. He began to stammer so badly that Lonnie took over and detailed the agreement he had reached with the girl and stressing his view that she could be trusted because she was desperate to get away. When he finished, Carell gave the briefest nod.
So, we know the strength of the Charity Sec Force now. We can assume that Summerfield will match that, as they sure as shit have spies in each other's camps. What they don't know about is us, and what we've got. Jenny? JB?
Jenny and the armorer exchanged glances. JB had spent some time during the day examining the collection of wags housed in the old garages of the redoubt. Some of them were vehicles that had been used by escapees as they drove across the desert and found the redoubt, or had been found by Hellbender scouting patrols, and others were the wags that had been in the redoubt since before Skydark. Some of these were just transport wags, which the community had been refitting using weapons from the armory. Others were purpose-built attack and defense wags, heavily armored and armed. JB felt that these would be more than a match for the cobbled-together wags of Charity if the tactics were right. Despite their superior firepower and the element of surprise, they would be outnumbered by the combined convoys of both vills, so keeping their flanks protected was a must.
I've taken all of that into account. The final battle plans will be drawn tonight. The convoys will rendezvous in less than 48 hours. I want everyone on the base to get a good night's sleep, because we're sure as hell going to have to be wide awake and full at them tomorrow. Group briefing will be at sunup tomorrow. All right, everybody dismissed.
While the Hellbender group went off to their own rooms and immediate companions, Ryan gathered his people together.
Back to our space, and I think we may just need our own briefing first.
It was something with which the others could all concur, and when they reached the office space that doubled as their living quarters, Jack stood guard by the door.
Doc, Dean,
Tell me something. I've heard Lonnie's and Danny's view of things. What do you think? By turns, they expressed opinions that differed little from those already heard, Dean adding the all-important coda of the opinion Danny expressed concerning Carell's ability to keep calm and focused in the heat of battle.
Yeah, I'd kind of figured that one out myself. I'm not too sure if anyone else other than Danny has that opinion, though. And that could make things difficult in the middle of a firefight.
The only thing we can do is keep triple alert for when it starts to happen and have plans of our own.
That's why I wanted this. What do we think of the setup here? JB?
Well, the weapons have been well kept, and the wags are maintained well. There's a good supply of ammo and grens. Better than I've seen for a long time. The hardware won't be a problem. There's enough to go around and then some. It's a question of whether they can use it.
They can. They're good with weapons. But the thing that worries me is that they're arrogant. Not in an obvious way, but because they've been isolated for so long, and Carell's hyped them up to a point where they really believe they're unbeatable.
They can shoot well, but they can't take the idea of someone being better than them. So if they come up against forces that are better in a firefight, some of the Hellbenders might go to pieces.
Although she didn't add any names, Mildred thought of the blonde calf, who had tried to make her look stupid in front of Rudy.
Same goes for unarmed combat. You saw it yourself, lover, with that bastard Juan.
It would seem to me that we are dealing with a community that is a trifle unstable. And if anyone is qualified to see that, then it must be me. I fear they have been in isolation for too long and been infected with the good Mr. Carell's brooding on perceived wrongs.
And that's what makes them dangerous. They're like a damaged gran that could go off in your face as soon as the enemy's. Dean, do you reckon we can trust Danny to be with us if we have contingency plans?
Yeah. All Danny really wants to do is spend his time messing around with old tech and trying to get to the bottom of it. And maybe spend the time doing that with Aisha helping him.
And can she be trusted?
Who can say? She's kind of a bitch. But, well, to be fair, it's kind of hard to get an idea about her from just a couple of hours. I am sure she wants to get out of that convoy alive and not be a slave to Summerfield. And I'm also pretty sure that she'd pretty much like to spend all her time messing with old tech as well, especially if Danny's around.
I guess that's a yes. But has she got the capability?
Provided the other women in the WAG don't turn against her, then yeah, she's hard.
They aren't gonna stop her. Turn away from a chance to get free and not be a slave? That's gotta be worth risking a chilling.
Huh. Well, okay. Problem is, we can't make any plans of our own until we know what Carell has mapped out. And by then, we probably won't get a chance to get together and work out an alternative.
We should try to keep together as much as possible. Keep close contact.
May not be that easy. Carell wants our firepower, but he doesn't trust us enough to let us stay together.
Yeah, then we're just gonna have to try and improvise our own tactics in the heat of the moment. Play it as it comes.
Jack, who had been silent up to that point while he kept watch and listened at the same time, turned his face to the others in the room. His scarred face was set and serious, but there was a light in his eyes that may have been amusement, or may just have been the anticipation of a hunt.
I always play as comes. That way I'm still alive.